We're starting a new series this morning through the Gospel of John entitled Discovering Jesus. I'd like you to turn to John, the first chapter, John chapter 1, verses 1 and following. John begins his Gospel different than Matthew, Mark, and Luke. He begins really with almost painting the first chapter of Genesis again, overlaid with Jesus. So listen again to these words from John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to light so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave the power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or the will of the flesh or the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John testified to him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks ahead of me, because he was before me.' From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known." May the Lord bless his word to hearts and minds today. Well, we begin this new series, Discovering Jesus, and this morning I want to look at Jesus as the living word. First, I want to share something a little humorous. I heard about this kindergarten teacher who was walking around watching their children as they were drawing, and she would occasionally walk and look at a child's artwork, and as she came to one little girl who was really busy drawing away, she asked the girl what she was drawing. And the girl, without looking up, said, "I'm drawing God." And the teacher said, "Well, no one knows what God looks like." And the girl, without missing a beat, said, "Well, they will in a minute." You know, for most of us, we'd really like to know what God looks like. I mean, we just went through the first chapters of Genesis, and there's some amazing truths there about the beauty of creation and what an engineering masterpiece it is, and a lot of things about hinting at God's grace, but nothing really pictures God quite like Jesus. And so John really overlays Jesus right there in the beginning. And this morning I want to look at those first words, those first verses of John, and I want to think about really four things as Jesus as a living word, and that's Jesus as God's logos or word, Jesus as God's light, God's life, and God's love. And so I hope you'll join me on this journey in your heart. We think, first of all, as it begins and it talks about, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. And that word for word in the Greek language is logos. And it's a beautiful picture, not just of sort of the action of God, but we think back to those first words in the first chapter and the first verses of Genesis where God spoke the world into being. Just by God's word, the world came into being. And John is using that picture saying that Jesus, in a sense, was the word of the Father bringing creation into being. And Jesus, now coming in human form, is showing us a further picture of God and bringing a new creation in our hearts and lives. And when you think about someone's word, you know, someone's word really reveals a lot about them, doesn't it? When you think about a person's word, sometimes we even say that when we're going to give someone a promise, we say, "I give you my word." And in so doing, we're really saying something about our heart and life. We're really saying something about our promise, and we're saying something about our character. And I think Jesus is all those things in human form for us. Jesus shows us God's character in a way that we couldn't see it in creation alone. We can see some incredible things. We can see that God is powerful, that God can plan, that put together an engineering masterpiece has allowed us to be stewards of his creation, but we can't see the heart of God like we can in Jesus. And you think about that, we see the character of God as something special. We also see the promise of God, because God promised way back in Genesis, really foreshadowing God's grace and making really the balance between love and justice come together. And so Jesus is God's promise come to us in human form, God's word. And that word is a living, vibrant word that we can see that shows us God in human form. Our church name is Emmanuel, which means God with us. And we think about God's spirit with us, but more than anything else, we can think about the presence and power of Jesus Christ in our hearts and lives, and how God's presence is there with us. And so Jesus came as God's presence with us. Jesus as God's logos or word. We think also that Jesus came to share our lives, our difficulties, our hurts, our heartaches, even what it was like to be a baby, to grow up as a child, the disappointments maybe. And the greatest disappointment of all, which was also the greatest fulfillment of all, which was Christ giving his life on the cross. And so Jesus is God's logos, God's word, the human form of our Father. Jesus is also the light. And listen to this image again in John chapter 1. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of humankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. In those first verses of Genesis, I mean, what's the first thing that God sort of calls into creation? It's light. Light breaks through the darkness. Light is powerful, and sometimes we think about the power of darkness, but you know, really you just turn on the light and all of a sudden the darkness vanishes. And in a sense, that's Jesus coming into the world. And we know that light is a vital part of creation, and that the first time that the word was spoken and God called creation to being, it says that light was formed. And you know that you can't have light without motion. I mean, it's impossible to have light without action and motion. And so Jesus is God's light coming to the world, God's word speaking creation into being, a new creation in us, but also God's light in our hearts and lives. And you think about light, it's not only necessary for light, but light also gives direction. And you think about that image of Peter and other disciples in a fishing boat, and sailors, ancient times, look at the lights of the sky. They looked at the sun, and they looked at the moon and the stars, and that enabled them to guide themselves. If there was a storm, it really brought a lot of difficulty. And today, you think, well, we don't need that. But in fact, most of our most sophisticated guidance systems use some kind of light to guide them. You think about laser kind of guidance and other kinds of light guidance systems. They really are used in light. And so you think about Jesus as giving us God's direction in our hearts and lives. And light is also a symbol of hope. Think about sometimes in our lives, and sometimes we even color our world that way, and we think of people who are going through an illness or a difficulty or experience the death of a loved one, and we think of the image of how light is something that seems to warm our hearts and lives. And so Jesus comes into our world to bring God's living word, the image of God, so we can know what God is really like, and also God's light to us. And the next thing that Jesus brings us is, Jesus brings us life. Life. Listen to these words again with the lens of thinking about the word life in here. It's really intertwined with light. Through him all things were made, and without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all humankind. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness has not overcome him. There was a man sent from God whose name was John, and he was to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. And listen to this. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent nor human decision, but born of God. Think of that life. And that word in the Greek is zoe. We think of zoology and a whole manifold sort of universe of life that's out there. But when we have light, then life is possible. Without light, life isn't possible. Think about the energy that our planet and biosystem runs on. It really comes from light first, and then through photosynthesis and other kinds of things, small sort of microscopic plants give off energy, and that energy becomes the source of all the life that we have. And so Jesus brings life into the world. But there's something else that's here too, I think, that we just came out of the series in Genesis, and remember that image in the center of the garden was the tree of life. And that image, even after Adam and Eve had taken from the tree, the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, and were sort of cast out of the garden, that God somehow brings them grace and covers them with light and with life is the imagery too. And I can't help but believe that doesn't foreshadow Christ and the cross that's before him. And so Jesus brings us life, a new life. And to read again from 2 Corinthians 5:17, which we read a week ago, it says this: "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old has gone, the new is here. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." We're born anew in new life. And John also says that God has given us the power to become children of God, born not of human will, but of the will of God. And finally, God's love. More than anything else, Jesus pictures God's love in our hearts and lives. So listen again to these final verses in that chapter. "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known." What a beautiful image. You think about what is the heart of the Father like? The heart of our Heavenly Father is Jesus Christ, who has come to show us God's love in the greatest form of love possible, showing us the way of love, and then giving his life on the cross that we might know forgiveness and new life and the promise of the resurrection and life to come. A beautiful image. And just a few verses from then, it is that great verse in John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life." We think about Jesus as God in human form in this beautiful image that John uses different than all the other gospel writers about sort of the backdrop of creation itself, and that Jesus has come to show us the Father in a way that we would never know God in any other form. And so Jesus is God's logos and God's life and God's light and God's love. And the question for all of us is, do we allow God to be that in our hearts and lives today? I'd like to close with this thought, which is in John. John sort of jumps over real quick onto the call of the disciples, and there's the baptism of John the Baptist. And then the disciples are really in the third day of Jesus' calling, find themselves at a wedding feast, which John really highlights. And it's a beautiful story. Jesus and the disciples are there, and Jesus' family is there, his mother as well. And so in the middle of this wedding feast, now this was a big deal then, just as it is today, maybe even a much bigger deal then. It really was about the family providing this great celebration for their friends and having provision that was up to par, and above that, it was a great celebration. And in the middle of this wedding feast, they run out of wine. The wine was a really important part of that, and so they run out of wine. And Jesus' mother, Mary, notices this, and so she comes to Jesus and tells him that they run out of wine. And she brings some of these people with him that are helpers. And Jesus turns to Mary in an interesting way and says, "Well, what is that to me? My hour has not yet come." And Jesus' mother turns to these helpers and says, "Do whatever he tells it." You ever tried to say no to a Jewish mother? It's pretty tough. And Jesus can't even do that. And so she seems to know that this is a special time. And so Jesus turns to these stewards of the wedding, and he tells them to take these 6 jars that were really for water. They were part of a purification ceremony that Moses had initiated. And Jesus tells them to fill those jars with water to the brim. They're about 20 to 30 gallons apiece. And then he tells them to take some of that to the wine steward who was in charge of all this. So they do that. And the wine steward doesn't know that they have done that, and so he takes a sip of it, and he said, this is amazing. Most people bring out their best wine at the beginning, and then after people are sort of tipsy and they don't know the difference, and they bring out the lesser quality wine. But you have waited until now, to the middle of this ceremony, to bring out your best wine. Now, of course, it's a story about Jesus' power and his presence and really caring about this celebration. And for many of us, it wouldn't seem like maybe as great a miracle as some of the things, but John calls this a sign. It's the first of seven signs. And a sign isn't just there for the moment. It points to something greater than itself. And I think there's something here, not only does Jesus love this couple and want the best for them, but I think it also sort of takes us back to that Genesis scene in the Garden of Eden, to the first couple, Adam and Eve, and where they had fallen short. And John sort of lifts this up as part of this new creation. And Jesus is there to sort of heal them. And where they had to leave the garden, where that couple was sort of put out into sorrow of work and labor and difficulty and adversity, even though God's grace was there, Jesus is here with this couple to make sure that their celebration is special. That even again, the things that they hadn't planned for, that he could take care of. And Jesus turns that water into wine in a beautiful, beautiful way. Think about our own lives, that Jesus cares about everything that we've gone through. And Jesus is there to make sure that we know what God is like, God's living word. And today, whatever our difficulties are, whether it's a celebration that we're going through, like this wedding couple where things don't seem to be quite what they could be, or whether it's adversity or difficulty, a sickness, some pain in our heart, know that God is present with us. And God can take even the ordinary things like water and lift them up as something special in our hearts and lives through the blessing of Almighty God. So Jesus is God's Logos, his living word, and God's light and God's life, and most of all, God's love in human form if we accept him as our Lord and Savior. Will you join me in prayer? Gracious God, this morning we think about your great love in our hearts and lives, and that you're there waiting for us, whether it's a celebration that we're going through or whether it's adversity and difficulty. You're there in the valleys and in the mountains of life. You came that we might know the heart of the Father. You came that we might know God in living form, and most of all, God's great love for us. Help us to this Lenten season to travel with you and invite you into our hearts and lives as we journey to Calvary and to an empty tomb. Most of all, maybe open our hearts and lives to allow you to make a new creation in our lives this day through your power and to your glory. Amen.